Chapter 48. May 12th of year 19. Marchenko. A shiny cube rotates in space in front of him. Marchenko had imagined the majestic draft appearing darker and more menacing, probably due to its representation on the holo map. It looks just like a giant die without any dots, slowly rolling through space. The ship's hull is not smooth. It is made up of cells that are clearly demarcated. There are so many that Marchenko's first impression is that of a coating consisting of small gems. This is probably due to the fact that the sides, made of multiple metals, reflect the light of the warm yellow sun, and the image of the illuminated planet below them in all directions.
"Isn't she beautiful?"
This was spoken by the alien. By now, Marchenko is translating his words automatically. Gronolf, who is in the shelter building, has tapped into the data stream sent by messenger sensors. "She is beautiful. Your people created a masterpiece."
"The design is the work of one of our most famous architects."
"In my world, spaceships are not designed." Marchenko thinks of the practical but ugly vessels crisscrossing the solar system. One would not have even called the Ilse beautiful, even though she was the most expensive spaceship ever built up to that time. "The thinking is that shape does not matter in space," he adds.
"We believe that it is easier to fulfill a mission if a warrior is proud of what he is doing."
"Pride is a tricky subject on Earth," Marchenko says. "We will have to talk about it some other time. What's next?"
"Do you see the central axis? The shell of the cube rotates in such a way that the axis stays in the same position. That offers you the best entrance point."
"I can see it." Marchenko mentally marks the point and calculates an appropriate course. An optical cable linked to the ship's systems sticks out through the surface of his right hand like an IV needle. This way he can react faster, and the wireless data capacity is limited. "Messenger will take 10 minutes, he tells Gronolf.
"I know."
Marchenko forgot that Gronolf can access all the data in the ship's systems. He carefully watches the course taken by Messenger. With every minute, the majestic draft looms larger. "This is insane," he says. "The ship is really enormous."
"Thank you,"
Gronolf says. Marchenko stands there calmly. The orbital module has no windows, which are unnecessary because he can visualize space, the planet, and the cube with his inner eye. Later, he can overlay these images with what is happening directly in front of him. But right now, he focuses on the view. The omniscience might try to change its course. However, it can hardly escape him now. Such a huge ship has a correspondingly large inertia, so that Messenger would always be faster during the first kilometers. It would be as if an elephant tried to escape a fly. A countdown indicates the last 60 seconds. Marchenko doesn't actually need the countdown, but it is a nice tradition that makes it easier to prepare for exiting the ship. He pulls the cable from the console. It retreats automatically into his body like an earthworm. Then he steps to the bulkhead. The orbital module does not have an airlock, but only a simple hatch he can use to get outside. As he did not fill the module with air to begin with, there is no hissing sound when he opens the hatch. The cube is directly ahead of him. It is no longer glittering. The gems have turned into individual raised sections with a height and width between 30 and 50 meters. 3, 2, 1.
"Jump!"
Gronolf shouts. Marchenko pushes off slightly and then triggers the jets in his shoulders. Once he is 10 meters away from Messenger, the ship changes course and retreats. He might need the vessel again. He approaches the majestic draft at a slow pace. He is glad he arrived near the central axis, where the shell of the cube rotates more slowly. Where is the best entrance? The axis itself seems to be massive, having no hatches or anything similar. The round shaft in its center leads directly to the engine. Trying to enter there would be a guaranteed way to die, as the omniscience would only have to activate the engine briefly, and he would roast at a temperature of several thousand degrees. Not a good idea. Instead, Marchenko aims for a round structure on the hull in the sector next to the axis. "An airlock?" he asks.
"Confirmed, but I don't think..."
"Don't worry." He did not exactly tell Gronolf about the tricks he was capable of performing. Some of that came from a desire to show off, but there was also the risk that the omniscience might be eavesdropping. Marchenko does not expect that it is willing to let its former passengers escape easily. Only 3 more meters to the airlock. Marchenko decelerates with his shoulder jets. In order to cushion the impact, he stretches his legs forward. They absorb the kinetic energy of his body.
The access panel is toward the axis, Gronoff explains. You should have the necessary access rights.
Marchenko looks for the panel Gronoff described. It has two buttons. How do I identify myself? Gronoff gives him a frequency.
You pronounce your name.
Marchenko establishes a connection. General Dukar, he says, using the original voice of the dead officer. The omniscience must know that the general is in the shelter building, so it would be plausible for him to appear here. Yet nothing happens.
Is the airlock receiving energy?
Asks Gronoff. Marchenko looks at the area in the infrared spectrum. Yes, there is electricity flowing.
Then the omniscience does not want the general on board. I don't think it would be different at the other airlocks. So do you have to use the shaft?
I am not suicidal. Marchenko touches the metal surface between the panel and the airlock. There it is, a slight indentation between the door and the outer hull. The airlock is airtight, but that is a relative term. While no air can escape, there is a little bit of a gap between the door and the wall. At least it is enough for the special tool he constructed. It consists of a chain of nanofabricators he modified, which are as flat as a string of single atoms. He puts his right thumb against the center of the gap. Sensors locate the exact spot, and then the string gets underway. The only problem is the time. The chain needs a few minutes to reach the other side. There it will start to produce small sensors and tools from available materials. After 20 minutes, he receives the first low-resolution images through the string.
Not bad, Gronoff says via radio.
Another 20 minutes pass before Marchenko can have his agents manually open the door from the inside. Two large bolts have to be pushed aside, and then the door can be opened outward. I am inside, he says.
I am impressed, replies Gronoff.
I hope the omniscience did not lock all the doors this way. That would cost us too much time.
I cannot imagine it.
Marchenko would like to know what Gronoff's optimism is based on, but he doesn't say anything. He first closes the external door and then examines the inner airlock door. Even that door does not react to the general's name. Does the omniscience already suspect something?
The shirt was me, he says. What did you say?
It doesn't matter, Gronoff. A swear word from my home country. Marchenko once again searches for a gap between the door and the wall. He will probably need more patience than he expected. How many hours do we have left? Marchenko asks.
6, I would estimate.
I see 9 more doors on the map. Marchenko imagines going through the airlock door and entering a long corridor. Suddenly, numerous new doors slam down. He can't even count that fast. Then he returns to reality. Nonsense, he says to himself and shakes his head.
What do you mean?
Sorry, I am just thinking out loud. How are Adam and Eve? He almost called them the children.
They are watching and are very excited.
Fine. Speaking of watching, the majestic draft will soon be entering the radio shadow of the planet. We will lose our connection.
The way it looks, I'm getting along quite well by myself. How much longer?
I can't tell for sure. As soon as the atmosphere interferes, the connection will degrade. And once you move below the horizon, it should stop altogether.
I understand. I won't be surprised when I suddenly can't hear you.